This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Jenny Pell, a permaculture expert, founding member of Permaculture Now, and permaculture designer for the Beacon Food Forest. Jenny Pell is here today to tell us about the Beacon Food Forest, a proposed forest garden ecosystem able to produce high yields of food with less maintenance and located next to Jefferson Park in Seattle's Beacon Hill neighborhood. Welcome, Jenny.
It's great to be here.
Perhaps you could start by defining a food forest. What is meant by a food forest?
Well, what we do is we look at a natural forest ecosystem. We try to mimic that pattern in our design. So we want to choose things that are going to be functional, delicious, make soil tilth, provide habitat, forage, and also have really high yields for people. So we're looking at tall, overstory canopy trees, like big nut trees, and then down to maybe full-size fruit trees, apple trees, moving into maybe semi-dwarf fruit trees and nut trees, shrubs like blueberries, maybe raspberries, and going down all the way into the ground covers of strawberries and lingonberries, and even into the root zone for horseradishes and things like that. So we're trying to look at medicines, food, timber, all kinds of things that are going to mimic those seven layers of the natural forest ecosystem.
How did the idea for a food forest near Jefferson Park in Seattle's Beacon Hill neighborhood come about?
Well, I was teaching a permaculture design course over 6 months, and several of my students, for their final design project, chose that piece of land. And their presentation was absolutely amazing, and they got very inspired by it themselves, and they went ahead and wrote a Department of Neighborhood Small and Simple grant, which they were awarded. And then that had to go out to a public request for proposals. And my design team, along with Margaret Harrison, put in a proposal for that contract, and then we won the bid because it specified permaculturalists. And so then we went ahead and designed that program, working in concert with public utilities and parks and the steering committee and the local community.
Would you say a few words about the parcel of land on which the food forest will be located?
It's a really unique situation because the Jefferson Park is a reservoir. And for the homeland security issues, they decided to cap that reservoir and make a brand new park in the city. So what formerly was just a really steep hill with blackberries and a barbed wire fence now is a big, gigantic, whole block park in the middle of the city with playgrounds and a community center and Samoan cricket and all kinds of things. And it's become a hub for the entire community. And on the western slope of that is a 7-acre piece of land that's just mowed. There's nothing going on there. It's just a pass through to the public utilities part of the reservoir.
Would you also say a few words about community involvement in designing the food forest?
Yeah, one of the requirements with the Department of Neighborhoods was that there was a really big community outreach aspect. And the steering committee handled that, and they had to do it in 6 different languages and have interpreters available. And it's a very interesting community. They've got a lot of recent immigrants, Asian immigrants, African immigrants. There's Latino community. It's just very diverse. It's one of the most diverse, ethnically diverse zip codes in the country. And so that was a really big challenge, just trying to get really diverse voices to the table. So for the first public meeting that we did, a lot of permaculture people got really excited and came from farther away than just a local neighborhood. And that was really fun to have them show up. But we really tried in the next meetings to really focus just on getting local people to come in because we needed their voice in the process too.
What are the goals of the food forest?
The goals of the food forest are to, gosh, there's so many different goals. Let's see. We want to have a really diverse palette of delicious things to eat that people can harvest and kids can run up and down berry paths and eat and eat and eat. And we want to have everything from persimmons to mulberries to large yielding nut trees like chestnuts and walnuts. And we also want to have a big educational component. For me, one of the big things right now is our culture is losing skills very quickly. We used to have lots of different skills and know how to prune trees or know how to work our compost or know how to put up our foods. And I would say in this day and age, very few people know how to do that. So management of the food forest is going to come through a series of educational workshops and opportunities for people in the community to get involved and learn how to manage that ecosystem and then glean extensively from that ecosystem or from that forest ecosystem.
Well, you're the permaculture designer for the food forest. Would you tell us about permaculture before we start talking about permaculture in the food forest?
Okay. So permaculture is the design approach to human settlements. And so what we're looking at are what are all the different things we need in our communities? So we have five major systems: water systems, food systems, energy systems, waste systems, and then building systems. So, for example, in natural building, we want to use materials that are fairly close by rather than shipping them from overseas. In the Pacific Northwest, we want to have passive solar houses for maximum solar gain, maybe with attached greenhouses. For our water systems, we're looking at gray water systems, we're looking at water catchment off the roof, we're looking at designing our landscape so that we can have infiltration of water into our yards rather than just runoff. So we're looking at all these different systems, how do they support us and our communities and our families based on an ethical framework. So we're looking at how do we care for the planet, how do we care for people, and how do we have a network set up to distribute the surplus. So permaculture in its essence is just a design approach. It's a methodology using a series of principles and ethics to get to thriving, resilient communities.
Would you say a few words about how you integrated the principles of permaculture in designing the food forest?
Well, it was an interesting challenge because the community wanted so many different things. They wanted kids' play areas, and they wanted community gardens for growing vegetables. They wanted gathering spaces for barbecues and picnics, and they wanted bike paths. So the list of things that the community asked for was really extensive. One of them was lots and lots and lots of fruit trees. So we did the food forest with a couple acres of just really mixed food forest. So, like, again, those overstory canopy trees all the way down into the small shrubs. And then we have a couple acres set aside for native edibles, which we thought would be really great to showcase. And then we actually have an orchard area, which will have mixed plants in the understory to make that a really healthy ecosystem in the orchard. So let's see what else we put in there. We also had a request for open play areas. So what I designed for that was all around the edges of the play areas, I put snack fruits. So those are the most delicious ones to eat out of hand. So you run around and then the plums are ripe, you go eat those plums, really delicious, rather than something that's a storage fruit. Some pears that you pick, you really have to let them sit for a couple months before the sugars come up. So we specifically place things according to their function right there in the system.
So the idea is that the food is available to anyone who would like to come eat it. Is that correct?
It is definitely meant as a public foraging, help yourself type of food forest, but with the caveat that some people are going to be working really hard to make those systems abundant and that there's an invitation to come also work in the food forest. So I think a lot of people won't really know when to pick certain things. So they won't recognize it as a food that they see in the grocery store. So, for example, mulberries. Mulberries often have unripe, semi-ripe, and very ripe fruit on the tree all at the same time. If you eat an unripe mulberry, it doesn't taste very good. But you wouldn't recognize, most people wouldn't recognize that. So there's a big learning curve. It's like a persimmon. If you eat a persimmon when it's not ripe, it tastes terrible. But some people will absolutely know when those persimmons are ripe. And so I think that for apples and pears and plums, like most people, they'll recognize those fruits and they'll eat them. Raspberries, people will be able to recognize and eat, and that's great. But for certain types of things to harvest, I think that it's a little bit out of the ordinary, so people won't necessarily know when to eat it.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jenny Pell, founding member of Permaculture Now and permaculture designer for the Beacon Food Forest. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you elaborate on the benefits of the food forest and who will benefit?
Well, there's lots of different people that will benefit, including the land itself. So, you know, as a designer, as a permaculture designer, we sort of joke that our first client is Gaia. Our first client is the land. And so we're looking now at an ecosystem that is just grass. They just go and mow it with power mowers. And how do we build a resilient and thriving, healthy soil base for those plants to grow in? So we're looking at changing the whole soil ecosystem and then putting in all kinds of plants and trees and shrubs that are going to create a very synergistic, resilient ecosystem that we can glean from and we can eat from. So there's going to be the people who are going to eat from it are going to benefit. They're going to learn an enormous amount about how to manage food and put up food, and it's going to build community as people come, and it'll be a great place for children to be. We're hoping that there will be extra surplus for the food bank. We're working now with the Veterans Hospital to have a program for the veterans to come down and have their own garden plots as part of a counseling program and wellness program. There'll be honeybee forage and other pollinator forage, great habitat for birds, and it'll be beautiful.
Who's going to be responsible for taking care of the food forest?
I think the primary responsible will be within the local community. And at some level, I would say that the program or that the land is really intended for the local community, but we recognize that it'll become a destination. You know, if I were visiting from out of town, I'd want to go see that 7 acres of urban food forest. And so I think what's a really important part of this is to help educate people that it's okay to help yourself to some of it, but have sort of wise gleaning practices and take some, but leave a lot too.
What have been the key concerns expressed by people about the food forest?
The funniest concern is, what if people eat it all? Which just makes me laugh because that's the point. We want people to eat it all. I think the project to me would be a failure if people didn't eat it all. And if people eat it all, that means that clearly we need more. More raspberries, more blueberries, more fruit trees, more nut trees. And so we see it as sort of a pioneering project. A lot of eyes are on this project to see how it goes and see what does happen with all the food. One of the biggest concerns, what if homeless people come and eat the fruit? And, you know, last time I checked it, homeless people really like fruit, you know. You don't have to be living in a house to pick fruit here. I mean, it's meant to be a public food forest. Another funny question I get is, well, isn't this just a great place for hippies to come hang out? And I say, well, my dad, who's a very conservative person, he really likes fresh fruit. So I think there's sort of a universal love of fresh, organic, local produce and that connection to it that you can actually go pick it yourself. It's everybody loves that. So the success of the program is that the system is maintained, we have a huge diversity of products, and then also that permaculture is not meant to be contained within any area. We wanted to jump the boundaries of that really quickly. So if you, for example, came to help out in the raspberry patch, you would then go home with 10 or 20 canes to plant in your own garden.
How is the development of the Beacon Food Forest being funded?
They got their initial funding through the Parks Levy. They got $100,000 that they have to spend this year. And that's going into a lot of the earthworks and the paths and the initial infrastructure. I believe they also got another $50,000 grant that they wrote themselves for all the signage. And that was through a science education grant. I don't remember what it was called. And they got another $5,000 grant through City Fruit, I think it was, for an initial plant purchase.
How far along is the Beacon Food Forest?
They are just now finishing up the earthworks design. It's fairly sloped site, and so we have to have paths that go through, and then we're trying to terrace it a little bit so some of the beds will be more level. And it's also an entirely constructed piece of land, and so the soils, we had to do some soil analysis, and so we're looking at how do we then, you know, take the sort of reality of what the soil is and start to build it up from there.
How long will it be before food is available to eat?
They are planning to have their ground-making ceremony in September, and they'll be planting their first round of fruit trees and shrubs in the fall, and those will start to bear next year.
Are there examples of food forests in other places?
Oh, absolutely. So permaculture comes from Australia, and it's maybe 30-35-year-old discipline in terms of the ethics and the principles. And in Australia, they call it bush tucker. You can go out, and they have designers there working on public parks and things like that where they're putting in bush tucker systems. But if you go back, you know, if you jump back much farther into human history and prehistory, we've been an agriculture people for a very short amount of time and a horticultural people forever, since the dawn of humans. And so, you know, it's kind of like revisiting our horticultural roots in a way. Rather than having field crops, we're having different types of perennial plant crops.
Would you say more about the food forests you can find internationally?
Yeah, there's an incredible permaculture designer named Jeff Lawton, and he's been researching international food forests. And he found one, I think it was in Morocco, that was a 2,000-year-old continuously managed food forest of date palms and bananas and all different kinds of delicious things that just sort of dropping into an oasis, but quite large. And he has another small video about a 300-year-old food forest in Vietnam that was managed by a very elderly couple. And over those many generations of managing that system, to the untrained eye, it just looks like a sort of wall of green. But everything in there is medicinal, edible. There's chickens foraging in there. There's, you know, gigantic overstory trees with huge yields of fruits and coconuts and all different kinds of things. So when we look at the food forest equation, it's like, how do we in our sort of immediate neighborhoods have these different types of food forests serving us in all these different ways? And if it provides habitat for certain animals that you can also eat those animals, or that you can, you know, have songbirds, or you can, you know, so we're building capacity not just for people, but for a very complementary system that's going to support us.
What is most unique about the Beacon Food Forest?
It's probably the largest urban food forest in the United States. And because of its size and because of the scope of the project and because many, many cities across the country are committed to urban food solutions and trying to have food justice and change up food deserts, there's a lot of policy that can help facilitate these type of programs in different cities. So I think what's really unique about this program is the scale of it and also the incredible support we've gotten from all the city groups. So we can, in a policy sense, we can look at codes and see how they restrict us from having access to urban agriculture. They can remove those from the books, but they can also then facilitate that process by giving incentives or specifically allowing those types of things to happen, which Seattle has done.
Do you foresee having food forests in other parts of Seattle?
Oh, absolutely. They're popping up all over the place. There's quite a few permaculture people in Seattle, and we're doing it in our own backyards, in our parking strips. We're doing it in the alleys. There's the Bradner Gardens has a perennial edible forest garden in a small scale. We've got the Piper Creek Orchard is also another perennial system in Seattle.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I would say my message would be that Seattle has an enormous capacity to grow a lot of really delicious food and that those projects build community in the most incredible way. And food forests can happen in any scale. They can be just a few fruit trees with the understory plants all the way up to up and down your entire city block. So I would say that we're looking at how can we have more than 5% of what we eat grown within our own city limits. Seattle could do that with a commitment. Nobody in the world is doing that right now. It would be really fascinating to see that happen.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Jenny.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
You have just been listening to Jenny Pell, permaculture designer for the Beacon Food Forest. For more information, check on the web at beaconfoodforest.com. Again, that's beaconfoodforest.com, and also permaculturenow.com. On Saturday, June 2nd, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., the Beacon Food Forest Steering Committee will give tours of the Beacon Food Forest site at the southwest corner of Jefferson Park, 15th Avenue South, and Dakota Street. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.